Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he had some questions about salvation. And here's what Jesus said. If you turn your Bibles to the third chapter of John, and we'll read 3 through 7. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." In other words, if you want to be part of God's eternal kingdom, you want to have eternal life, you must be born again. In today's society, about everybody is going to heaven. I mean, I don't care what kind of life they live, you know, when it comes to the time of their death, the world puts them in heaven. But we know by reading God's word that this is not biblical. We have to be born again. We have to be a child of God in order to go to heaven. And it's a common belief in this society if a person's been good, as the world sees him, I guess, or if he's been a successful person, or if he's been of a high earthly society, that they'll go to heaven. And they pretty much say, well, he's up in heaven now, or she's up in heaven now. Now, all of these things are good, of course. I think it's good that man does good things, but good things don't take us to heaven. And in a lot of cases, in these situations we're talking about, there was no good. Most of the things that we've seen out of these people may be of a bad nature. But according to God's word, these are not the standards in which you can enter into heaven. The Bible tells us that the way is narrow to heaven, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't open it up to any other. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing.
Amen.
And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be saved. So, as we discussed, or it was discussed in Lesson 1, mankind has both a physical body and a spiritual body, excuse me. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, 15th chapter, and let's look at verses 44. 1 Corinthians 15, 44. There is a natural body, it says there, and there is a spiritual body. Now, a lot of times people get mixed up, I think, in their thinking or their consciousness of this body that you see here. It's gonna die. This is just my place of dwelling, the real me, the me inside, my soul, my inner being, and this old outer shell is gonna go back to the dust of the ground. And a lot of times people, I think they kind of think, well, this is going to go right on into heaven. No, the Bible tells us that your blood and flesh will not be in heaven. So this body must die. We must put off this old body. And, of course, God will give us a new body if we're a born-again child of God. Now, again, people's thinking, they're thinking in these, and I guess these physical ways, the way we look today, And they don't realize that there is two parts of every person. Now, whether you're lost or saved, there's still two parts. The soul of man is going to live forever. That soul of man is either going to live with God in heaven or he's going to live in hell. But there is two parts to mankind. There's a physical, which you can see. You know, I'm getting pretty banged up. You know, I'm kind of like an old car, you know. I keep going and kind of patch myself up, this, that, and the other. And we see that as we get older. And some of you are not that age yet, but as you get older, you start finding out things don't work like they used to. Now, I can't run, jump as high. I can't do the things that I could do. Now, my mind may be that, yes, I can do that because the last time I tried it, I did. I don't know if I gave you this example. I may already have. There's a day, I'm afraid of heights. I would say a little afraid. I'm a lot afraid of heights. I get up on top of the house. I, you know, I may climb a ladder and get on top of the house. But the problem comes when I start trying to get down, get off that ladder. So what I'll do in a lot of cases is I'll run the ladder way up above the eave of the house so that I can get a hold right up there and start down the ladder before I actually start off the house. That's kind of the way I've overcome it. Well, the other day, you know, I still do some things on top of the house. This, there, the wind had been blowing, blew a tab or two up. I think, well, I need to go up there and tie that down. The last time I did it, it worked all right. You know, I was just careful about moving around on the roof, this, that, and the other. Everything went smooth. But this time, I mean, I didn't realize that I could, when I got down, I had a hard time getting up. So when I got down to the tire of the shingle and stuff, I couldn't get up. There I was. I didn't have nothing to push on or anything. And so a lot of times our mind may be thinking back when we were younger or done something when we were younger, and then we can still do it. But in the same tense, when we think in our mind, a lot of times people don't think about it, but this body of ours, this is your record. You know, we're from, you know, I've already lived 6 years beyond the average year of man. Bible gives us 70 years. But our bodies is deteriorating. Now, I'll grant you some of the things that happened to me in the last 2 or 3 years had a great effect. But the natural thing is for the body to deteriorate. But let me say, the soul of man, the spirit of man, is going to live eternally. And as I've already said, it's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. The Bible plainly preaches and teaches that the outward man, the physical, and the inward man are of man. That's part of man, the physical and the spiritual. So that's what we're going to be talking about just a little bit, and we'll go on. If you would, go to Hebrews 9th chapter. It's presented there that the physical body is only temporal, and it will perish. Now, I know that, you know, the worldly way of looking at this is you're going to live forever. You can, whatever you think you can do and those, all those kinds of things. But we need to realize, as I get older, I realize even more, this body is only temporal. It's going to end. And we have, I guess, if we're not careful, we'll have a thought that, hey, we're going to be here next year, maybe 10 years from now, and so on and so forth. But now when I think about it, when I think about, you know, I'm going to have my house covered, and if the storm going to come blow the roof off, I won't need another covering by all means, you know. People say, well, you need a good tin roof. That lasts 50 years. I don't need a 50-year roof. I'm not going to be here that long, you know. So I started thinking on those lines, because I'm getting older now. And I think God prepares our mind as we get older for that time that we're going to leave this earth. And most certainly, by reading His Word and studying His Word, He makes it plain that this body's temporal. It's going to go away. It's going to end. It's going to die. It's going to die. But the soul, the real me, the inside, the inner me, is going to live forever. And the Word of God brings us out clearly in many different places. Hebrews 9th chapter and 27th verse again. And it is appointed unto man once to die. If the Lord don't come back, everyone in this room is going to die. If the Lord don't come back and rapture us away. You know, I've always thought it would be in my lifetime. I don't know. Bible tells us no man knows. The Lord Himself knows. Father will tell him when to come back. But it is appointed that man wants to die. So this body is going to die. There's an old song that kind of rings true to me, and it's a country song, but I think it's got some biblical nature to it. It talks about silver and gold. And it talks about a new automobile, how that it'll get older, and silver and gold don't mean anything, except you're on this earth. But the thing that's real meaningful is the things of God, the things that we do for God, the eternal thing. Yeah. And as we, as we live this life, we need to understand that more and more. It's the things that we do in the spiritual that is everlasting. It's not the things that we do in the physical, but it's in the spiritual. And so it's in the things that we do for God, we'll be rewarded for, and it'll be with us for eternity. Now, the things of this earth, I don't care how hard a person, I heard one guy said, well, let's put it all in a big bill so I can just slaughter it before I die. You know, what crazy thing. You know, man's not going to take anything with him. But we can have things in eternity when we get there. And so we need to think along those lines and not put too much emphasis and too much, plans in the things of the earth. I know you have a plan. I mean, I know that there's some things that you have to do, but don't go over them. And so I know of people that they were up in, you know, 80s, 90 years old, trying to make another dollar. And they already had more than they spend the rest of their life, and so on and so forth. That's bad thinking. We need to be thinking about, what treasure do I have in heaven? Why can I sin in front of me? We're going to have to leave everything here on this earth, here on this earth. Hebrews 27th chapter again goes on to warn us. The 29th chapter and 27th verse, it goes on to warn us. But after this, the judgment. In other words, it's pointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And we're all going to have to meet God and have to stand before God. It tells us in Romans 14th chapter and 11th verse, it says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And you hear some people today talking about there's no God. You know, how would you like to stand before God one day preaching that kind of message here on this earth? There's no God. I mean, I don't care who you are, you're not going to escape that. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue shall confess to God. It goes on to say, and well, back in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse, wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by faint sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This physical body you see today is going to die, and it's going to go back to, you know, a lot of people today are using cremation and so on. I don't go along with that. And it's not my thinking. But some people, they're cremated. But we're all going to die. We're going to all leave this world when our last breath leaves, the heart that stops beating. We're going to leave this body. And our destiny is sealed at that point. You know, you see people that never confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're way up in, you know, older than me, quite a bit older than me. And they're just waiting for later. I'm going to do it later. I'm going to do it. But just be reminded, life is so uncertain. And the Bible tells us, when we have a chance to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, take it. Because there's no promise of tomorrow. Now, God's Word says that there's life after this body, though. We talked about, and Brother Eric talked about that last week, of how that there is the physical and the spiritual. We'll start this lesson today with talking about the spiritual. Because after this death, after the death of this body, there is an eternal soul. And it's going to be a soul that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And to be with the Lord forever, or that the Bible promises hell for the unbeliever. And when the body ends, it dies. Don't breathe anymore. There's no more life in it. Our destiny is sealed as human beings. We've either accepted the Lord as Savior or we've turned Him away. Now here's what the Word of God says about the existence after death. And I know there's people that teach that, and I've been watching some of it lately, and it's kind of silly talk to me. But, you know, this world, they're thinking is bad. You know, you look at the government, you look at the average person on the street. You know, I've seen these little skits where they go out and ask, well, who's the father president of our country? You'll hear everyone. You'll hear Theodore Roosevelt. You'll hear Lincoln. You'll hear. And not many people will tell you that George Washington. You ask them things about the history of this country, and they know so little about it, you know. But, now, that's one thing. That's the natural things of this. You ask them something about God, they have no idea. And one of the reasons for that is our children have not been taught in school. They don't hear it at home. They don't go to church. And so there is no time in their life that they're coming in contact with God's Word. Right? And so we're seeing that blossom in our society today. And anybody can come along with any old thing, you know, and they'll just swatter, poop, and sink. And we're living in that kind of world. But know that, according to God's Word, that there is an eternity. And you are going to spend it somewhere. You're either going to spend it in heaven or you're going to spend it in hell. Daniel's 12th chapter in the 2nd verse says this, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, I'm reminded of this story, and I've shared it before, but it's a good example. They said when the Titanic sank, they had two posters. And on those posters, I think they had a heading read something like this. Those known to survive, those known to perish. I don't remember exactly the word, just what it was. So a person ends up on one of those lists. And as a human being, at the time of death, you will end up on one of those posters. Known to be saved, known to be lost. Known to be in heaven, or known to be in hell, or destined for hell anyway. So, that's what this verse is saying. Any more verses? In the 25th chapter of Matthew, it says this, then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand, come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, I know that's speaking primarily to the children of Israel, but it can be applied to us also as the Christian church. Also in that 25th chapter, and the 41st verse, it says this, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And that's something else that I think everyone needs to realize. You know, you hear this thing. Well, God's a loving God. He won't send anyone to hell. I'm telling you, God went the extra mile. He went beyond anything we can even comprehend so that we could escape hell. He sent his only begotten son that was blemish free to pay the sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And all a person has to do to be saved and escape hell is accept him as personal savior.
Amen.
I mean, how much easier can it be?
Sure.
Now, I know people come up with all these different ways that they want to enter into heaven, but the Bible tells us there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what any preacher says or any teacher, anything you hear on TV, radio, or in the church, that is outside of that very fact is absolutely heresy.
Amen.
It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has made it so easy. Now, here in this verse it says that hell, the everlasting fire, was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels. Now, if you end up there, it's not because God wants you there. He wants everyone to accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and escape the torments of hell. Now, that's the narrow gate that's talked about in the Bible. The narrow gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know the gate's wide in this world today. You know, there's a lot of different major religions in the world today that say this is the way to God. It might be religion in the Far East. It might be in the Middle East. And they're not Christian religion. And then inside the Christian realm, or the fence that we might put around the Christian, the Protestant, whatever you want to call it, you hear all these different ways to go to heaven. They have a broad way. There is a narrow way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way. He says, I am the way. So, you either want to go to heaven or hell. There's no way around that. Because there's two parts to us. There's a physical that we can see and walks here on this earth. We're pilgrims here on this earth. Just a passenger. And if you're a born again child of God, by all means, this is not your home. Your home is in heaven. You can look to heaven. Now, I don't know what our heavenly home is going to look like. The Bible gives us some indication. But I know it's going to be wonderful. The Lord's been there for some over 2,000 years, well, nearly 2,000 years, preparing a place for you and I as His children. But make sure your home's not in hell. Everyone listen to me. Make sure your home's not in hell. And that narrow way of getting to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ and only Him, by Him. Then in Matthew, the 25th chapter and 46th verse says this, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal. We got that blessed hope. Brother, Thursday night, preached on that hope that we have, that faith that we have. He talked about what God knows. You know, we're serving a God that can look way down the road, thousands of years. I mean, I don't know how long creation's been here. I'm not going to argue that point. That's not important to me. What's important to me is God created the heavens and the earth. That's the beginning point. How that happened, I'll not argue the point. You know, I'll not argue the point that they found a bone that's 10 billion old. Fine. God could have created that in the ground just to dumbfound man. I don't know. I'm not going to argue the point. I just take the Bible exactly as it is written. You try to teach me something from the Bible, you say, well, that means this. Was that what it said? Well, no, not exactly, but what? Not to me. You're outside the Word of God. You're trying to interpret the Word of God. Now, I understand that if you take King James English, back in 1611, there's going to be some words that you used at that time in man history. It might not hardly fit today. I understand that. But if you don't know what it means, go find out. I mean, go find out. Dig like Brother Jimmy did. Dig. You know, what does that word mean? You go to most any dictionary or internet, you can find out some of the words that's used in the King James Version, what it meant in the day of King James, year 1611. But let me tell you, if God says it in His Word, I take it exactly as He said it. If I don't understand it, it's my ignorance. I need to find out. I need to ask God to show me. I'm telling you that the Word of God is a living Word of God. That, you know, how many times, some of you that's older Christian, maybe even you're a Christian, how many times have you read a verse that you have never gotten from that verse, what you're getting from it today. I mean, God, just open up your eyes. Man, I see what that means. Because you ask God to show you in His Word, you go to His Word sincerely to find out what God is saying to you. And we might read a verse 100 times in our life, 1,000,000 times in our life. And today we might read it and God showed something. I've referred to this a lot. One of the early messages Brother Jimmy preached here, he hit on that word thee. Man, it just shocked it in there. When the Bible says thee, that's the only one. The Son of God. There ain't but one. The Son of God. When I read thee in the Bible now, I'm thinking, man, that was a revelation to me. How many times have I read thee in the Bible? So, see, God's word speaks to us as he would have himself to speak to us. And so as we read his word and accept his word, accept it as it is written. Don't accept what somebody might say. Make sure you're looking to see what God says. Now, we're all humans and we make mistakes. If you follow me around very long, you'll find out I will make a lot of mistakes. All right. In Acts 24th chapter in the 15th verse, it says this. I'm going to have to hurry along. It says there, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Many years ago, I went with a guy that was selling tombstones. That wasn't my thing, so I didn't stay with him very long. He was kind of showing me the ropes. And this, we went to this lady's house. She said, "I went to tombstones. My husband wanted to be buried in the front yard. And what we done is we just got a load of cement. We just put him in that cement. Oh, that cement over. And nothing can bother him. And everything's gonna be fine. He's sealed away from me. He's gonna resurrect one of these days. He's gonna resurrect according to God's word. And I do believe God's word. He's gonna resurrect. Don't make any difference. You can't save yourself in concrete. You can't burn yourself up. You can't hide from God. God will do exactly what he says he'll do. If he says that he will perform something, it will be performed. You can bet on it. God's word says that there's not one jot or one tittle that won't come to pass in his word. So you can't, we're all going to be resurrected, either saved or lost. We're all going to face God one day. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ with our knee bowed, confessing who he is. The 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and the 25th verse says this, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. I got another guy I like to listen to. I don't even mention who he is. But I like to listen to him. And he's always talking about, I have life. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is life. He just preaches that all the time. That's good. Because that's what it is. Brother of the night kept alluding to going to living in eternity. Let me share this with you. When you trust Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you just entered to eternity. You have sealed your fate for eternity. You are, if you're here today, you've been saved 50 years, you've been living in eternity. Yes, just catch a hold of that. Right. We've been promised that, and we have that. And we will always be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one day we'll physically be with him. Well, not physically, but spiritually we'll be with him. But today you're with him. It says, once you accept him as personal Savior, he'll always be with you. I heard a good testimony last night. A lady started resting. She was talking about it. She just turned it over to God. And she said, "God, if you want me to do that, just make a way. I'm available." That's what God wants you to be, available. God wants you to be available. Now, available can mean you need to be studied up, prayed up, but available. And she talked about that God has shared this with her. "I'll always be with you." And she talked about some of the early electric utility bills she got. don't have money in the bank, but Lord, just help me. I'm here. And of course, that's putting it on worldly terms. We can understand that better sometimes. Same way with us doing God's work. I'm here. What do you want me to do? Study His Word, pray, ask Him. He will show me. 2 Thessalonians. 1st chapter, we'll read part of verse 7 through verse 9. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that they obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I'm going to share this with you. Just think about it. No hope. Eternally separated from the grace of God. Eternally separated from God. No hope. When I think about that, so all the people that I have come in contact with, maybe witnessed to, talked to, maybe they're not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Where they're at, they died now and gone on to be the Lord. But I'm getting older, and a lot of my acquaintances died and gone and left this world. They've made permanent their decision that they made here on this earth. I mean, it's permanent. So we are presented with the fact that the spirit, soul, every man is separated at death from the physical body, and that soul is everlasting, whether it be in heaven or it be in hell. Just two places you can go. And because of this fact, we're brought to the 4th chapter of our little study. And it is, we must consider the future for our eternal soul. God brings it on. I mean, He challenges us with that in His Word. And this is the place to do it while you're leaving here on this earth. Too late after you leave this earth. Now, strangely, most people, and me included, put too much emphasis on the physical. They plan everything. You know, I just got through paying my insurance. Man, wow. Thank good sakes. You know, that's insurance to pay. I got insurance on this. I got insurance on insurance. I got health insurance. Got car insurance, I got house insurance, got rental insurance, I got this, I got that insurance. Well, you got to do some of that. I understand that. I will say, okay, we need to put up for later. Now, God's already said, and I have a problem with this now. I'm confessing this myself. God has said He'll take care of it. You know, when you think about the sickness of this world, you know, I got some ailments, you know, I can't get rid of, and so on and so forth. God said, I'll take care of it. And I'll be His will that I be relieved of those. I look at the Apostle Paul, and, you know, the brother the other night talked about this a little bit. I mean, he had a problem, and he was, you know, I didn't even hate to even think about even trying to compare any part of my life to Paul, because Paul to me was an example of how a Christian should live. As a matter of fact, he said, just use me as an example. And he had a problem, and God told him, so I'll give you grace to overcome it, but I'm not going to remove it. And that's really what he said to me. And so I see that in my own life. There's things, you know, I've prayed for maybe not come through. But now is the time to make preparations for your eternal soul. The Bible tells us that a person that don't do that, and I mean, it even goes farther than that, or a person even that say there's no God, they're food. I mean, they're absolutely food. When I hear some of these people get up, you know, they can speak eloquently, and they can say all the big words, and they can make all the different points. Well, you know why I deem it? They're saying there's no God. Or even take away from some of God's word. They're foolish. They're speaking foolishly. They're, They're going to find out one day that all these things that they were thinking is a bunch of lies of the devil. Here's what the Bible says about it in Psalm 14, chapter and the first verse. The fool has said in his heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable things. There is none that doeth good. Speaking of these people that are doing that. Fool. Foolish thinking. Fool. Now, mankind seems to place a big emphasis on enhancing their lifestyle here on this earth. And now, right now, it's actually, Brother Jimmy brought this out many times. It's rolling over into the church. I want entertainment. I want this or I want that. I want something to feed my physical. And I'd have to say I look too much for that kind of thing too. Instead of doing that, we should be looking to God's Word. And I'm speaking to myself. The God of this world will lead us down any path he can to get us away from God the Father. He'll do it. But there's too much effort put on the things of this earth. We live in a luxurious time, really. When I even look back to my childhood, completely different thing than it is now. I mean, things get a little bit cooler. Turn the thermostat up. Getting a little hot in. What turn that to? Let's get it this way. We want it in here.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case when I was a child, maybe most of you. And I know Mom. But that wasn't the way. Things were a little bit harder. But today we've become a people that's just got every little thing to the physical. Be exactly like we want it today. Too much effort put in recreation. Who ever heard of some of the things going on now with the ball team? Now, I'm not a sports fan, so I can't relate to you if you are a sports fan. I'm just not a sports fan. When the Eagles play the Chiefs, I could care less who wins. Now, a lot of people, boy, it's a big deal with them. I've got acquaintances for the Chiefs. I don't know anybody for the Eagles, but for the Chiefs. I said, well, they got this week. Chiefs won. I could care less. But there's other things that interest me, you've heard me mention it a lot of times. I like to work with people. I like to watch it. This is crazy, a lot of people. But I like to watch those people that's got the bandsaw that cuts the lumber. I don't know if you've ever even seen that or not. They'll go out and get an old log, they don't look at anything. And they'll put it in that bandsaw and start cutting it. And boy, what is on the inside of that is amazing. All the different patterns in the wood, all the different grains, all the different colors. I enjoy watching it. I just wonder what's in that log. And they'll saw that and they'll pour water on it. And you can see very clearly what's on the inside of that. Well, that goes back to my liking to deal with wood, I guess. But that's entertainment to me. It's not football or basketball or baseball, whatever ball. But anyway, too much emphasis put on recreation today. Too much emphasis put on appearance today. Too much emphasis put on education today. Too much emphasis put on health today. And if I'm kind of a late night person. And I see a lot of commercials on late night TV. Oh man, I got a pill for everything. I mean, you can lose 100 pounds in 2 months. I mean, they got a pill for that. They got a pill for this. They got a pill for that. And they're playing to people's cravings to make a difference. Too much emphasis put on job. Too much emphasis put on retirement. Too much emphasis put on whatever. Our emphasis should be on the things of God. Too little thought given concerning the soul of man.